Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
So let's begin our study today looking at Jesus Christ. And alphabetically, we are now on the letter B, and we're finding things in the Bible about Jesus Christ from that letter. And the first thing we want to notice when we study the Lord Jesus Christ under the letter B is that he is the beginning. Yesterday, when we looked at the letter A, we saw Alpha and Omega. And in the same context, we found that he was the beginning and the ending. Look at Revelation 22:3. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 22:13, excuse me, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Well, that's very interesting when you concern various gods in the universe. Obviously, when we looked at him yesterday, Alpha and Omega, he is before all things. By him all things consist. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And better yet, he is God manifest in the flesh. He was here and always has been here and always will be here. But here when he says the beginning and the end, the first and the last, if you look at everything from a human perspective concerning any other God that may be named in the universe, Jesus Christ is there before. And Jesus Christ will be there long after. That's enough for me. That's enough for any person that would be a person to believe in the words of God to recognize that if you are looking for the right God, if you are looking for the best God, if you are looking for the God to worship, you want the one that's been here forever and the one that's going to be here forever, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the beginning. Now think about it. He's the beginning of your life. He's the beginning of your salvation. He's the beginning of the change in your life. He is the beginning of life. He is the beginning of life for you. I was alive before I got saved, but when I got saved and got the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and began my eternal life, I really began living. And it's just as Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I had the pleasures of sin, but I never had the abundance of life. Now, in the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the abundance of life. And that's the beginning of that came with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the beginning of the very purpose of life that I had. He's the beginning of the will of God in my life. He's the beginning of my salvation. And as we said, the beginning of eternity for me and for you when you've trusted him as your Savior. He truly is the beginning. Not only that, according to Matthew 3:17, he is the beloved. When Jesus Christ was baptized, God Almighty spoke with a voice from heaven and bore witness to the relationship that he had with his Son. And he said in Matthew 3:17, he said this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now the great thing about that is that love characterizes God. The Bible says God is love. We love him because he first loved us. And the thing about the Lord is that he loved his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I could tell you something. If you want to be in the right relationship with God and you know how he has expressed his feeling toward his Son, that he is the beloved Son, if you want to really get close to Father, get close to his Son. You see, in all cases, when you come closer to and pay respect toward the thing that a man loves the most, then you gain his favor. For instance, if a man really loves his wife and you speak well of his wife and you honor his wife, he's going to demonstrate favor toward you because you're showing favor toward something that he really loves and really cares for. When men show love and favor toward the Lord Jesus Christ, they gain love and favor with God Almighty. Now, of course, God initiated this whole thing with love. God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son. But as the beloved, we are, know then that Jesus Christ always did those things that pleased God, and God was always pleased with him. And so to take the Lord Jesus Christ would be the highest compliment toward God's method of salvation of anything that a person can do. Men are always that time trying to create their own entrance to God or their own access to God by the things that they have designed and believed. But I can assure you that if you come to the beloved Son, then you will come to the beloved Father because of the close association that they have with each other. When we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with His Son, and that's the desire that God has for you and for me, is to have that type of fellowship. And it is available. It is available because of God's love for His Son. I'll tell you, you know, when people think in terms of salvation, there's no greater opportunity than to go with the person to whom about whom God has already spoken His love. Here's the next thing. According to Romans 1:25, we saw this passage of Scripture yesterday. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. We'll see it again, and this has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ is blessed. All right, the Bible speaks of men who changed the truth of God into a lie. The Bible says, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All right, now, when you read passages of Scripture like Colossians, you're going to find out that the Creator is Jesus Christ. All right, and just so you can hear it for yourself in case you can't read a scripture about this right now, the Bible says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So there's the Creator. And notice, the Bible says, who is blessed forevermore. Now, that whole word, that blessed, is a word that is used frequently today, and has been for the last couple of decades, I think, frequently. You'll ask somebody, say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. We received an email just yesterday from a friend of ours, and in the email she said, I hope you have a blessed day. And the idea is that you have the blessings of the Lord upon you. Well, Jesus Christ has the blessings of God upon Him as the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now we're going to see another interesting B here, and this one concerns four aspects of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find this word used four different times, the first time in Zechariah, in Jeremiah, the second time in Jeremiah, and then the next two times in Zechariah. All right, so go to Jeremiah chapter 23, and notice, first of all, in every case, you're going to see it four times, the word branch is capitalized. And that's the word we're looking at. He is the beginning, He's the beloved, He's blessed. He is the branch. And the branch has to do with being an offspring of David. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. The Bible says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And there it is. It's capitalized, capital B. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. All right, now, this branch that comes up is a king. Is a king. And you know, when Jesus Christ was born, the men came from the east, and they said, where is he that is born? King of the Jews. When Pilate finally ordered his crucifixion, right before he did that, he presented Jesus Christ to the Jews, and he said, behold, your king. And when he did have him crucified, he put an inscription above his head on the post there, and it said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. All right? And so here, in the first case, where he is the branch, it shows that that branch of David came as a king. And that's interesting because David is in the line of kings. He's the first one from the tribe of Judah to reign on the throne in Israel. So he is establishes the throne, that God establishes the throne with him forever. And so it is going to be the descendant of David who is going to eventually be the ruling king of Israel when they ascend to their international prominence, which they haven't done yet. And that king sitting on that throne is Jesus Christ. And then turn to Jeremiah 33. You were in Jeremiah 23 just then. Turn to Jeremiah 33 and look at verse 15. And here in Jeremiah 33:15, the Bible says, "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch," there it is again, capital B, "the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David." Again, speaking of a branch of his tree or of his lineage, of his offspring. Okay? "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of the righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Again, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she should be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now, here in this passage of Scripture, we see in verses 15 and 16, his capacity as the Savior. In the prior one, his capacity as king. You'll notice in the context of the other passage, also he was Savior, but here in this passage, Judah shall be saved and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. So here he is the Savior as the branch of David. Look in Zechariah chapter 3, Zechariah chapter 3, and we'll see another reference to the branch. Zechariah chapter 3, this time verse 8. Zechariah is the second to the last book in your Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." Now this time, every letter in the word is capitalized. Capital B, capital R, capital A, capital N, capital C, capital H. "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes," and so forth. Now notice what he says here. He says, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." And here Jesus Christ is known in his capacity as the branch, as the servant. Now what did he tell his disciples? He said, when Gentiles rule over each other, you know, one is the benefactor. One is called like the Lord or the chief. He's the head, and then other people have to do what he says. He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. There he is, the servant. In Isaiah chapter 53, when you read about the crucifixion there, people speak of that chapter as the chapter of the suffering servant. Okay, so Jesus Christ came as a servant. He came as a Savior. He came as a king. But not only that, look in Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12. "I speak unto them, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch." And again, every letter in the word is capitalized. And even the title, the, that definite article, is capitalized. The, capital T, branch, all capital letters. "And he shall grow up out of this place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." And here, notice in the context that he is a priest. In Timothy, he says he is our high priest, in Hebrews, he says that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, in case you don't know, is the priest that was that showed up when Abraham came back with the spoils after defeating the armies that had conquered Sodom and Gomorrah, who had taken Lot's wife and his possessions. Abraham won back all the possessions that were stolen. And on his way back, he met a fellow named Melchizedek, who was the high priest, the king of righteousness and the king of peace, and he gave him a tenth or a tithe of all that he had recovered. Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now notice four things that are associated with the branch: a king, a savior, a servant, and a priest. All right, that's just the fourth B. Jesus Christ at the beginning, the beloved, the blessed, the branch. Notice also this: begotten. All right, John chapter 3, verse 16 probably came to your mind. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, people say about reading the Bible, particularly the King James Bible, they say, you know, the thing I don't like about it is the these and the thous and the begats and the begots. And let me tell you something, that word begot or begotten is a very, very important word because it signifies a natural birth. Now, that's what the word means. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That means he's the only one that came by natural birth. Now, the transaction to conceive Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary was a supernatural transaction. That is, the power of the highest overshadowed her. The Holy Ghost conceived seed in her without physical presence of a man or without any physical presence of the Lord. And so that's why it was known as a virgin birth. Nevertheless, he is the offspring of God in that capacity, in his human capacity, and therefore he is known as the Son of Man because of his lineage from Mary. He is known as the Son of God because of his lineage from the Father, the only begotten Son. See, you and I are sons of God, but we're not begotten sons of God because we have become sons of God by adoption, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and therefore not begotten, but adopted. Also, and connected with him being begotten, is that he is the babe. The angels announced to the shepherds, "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes," in Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And there's not a whole lot to say about that, except that God performed something that now men regard as foolishness, and that is that he was able to reduce himself to a baby. Here's the creator of the universe somehow occupying the physical presence of a baby, and now he is God incarnate in the flesh. That's mind-boggling. It boggles my mind. But I understand what the Bible says about it, and I believe what the Bible says about it, and so though it may be incomprehensible, it's certainly not unbelievable. He came as an actual man. He came in flesh and blood. That way he has every sense of infirmity that you and I can experience in life, that sense of having to be subject to his parents, the sense of being tempted as a man, the sense of coming in blood and having to shed that blood, the whole thing. All right, another B is found in John chapter 3 and verse 29. John chapter 3 and verse 29, we find this. He is the bridegroom. John chapter 3 and verse 29, John the Baptist is speaking of his earthly ministry as it compares to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." All right, well, the bridegroom's voice, then, is the voice of the Lord God, and that's Jesus Christ, and therefore, John the Baptist is the friend of the bridegroom, and then the bride of the bridegroom is the church, as we see in Ephesians chapter 5. So, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Now, here's another incomprehensible thing. How does Jesus Christ, how does the Holy Spirit put all of us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we come forth from his body like Eve came forth from the body of Adam, and then he marry his bride, and yet we are millions of people. Incomprehensible. I cannot figure that out. I know it's true. I believe it's true. I know God has it figured out. I understand the typology. I understand the relation. But how do you communicate that to somebody in a natural sense? The natural man can't receive that. It's just too much to understand. My natural man can't get it at all. But the spiritual man, the one that believes these things by faith, certainly does believe and understand. So Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and frankly, I'm looking forward to the marriage of the Lamb. Now, while Jesus Christ was certainly honored by his disciples and loved by those whom he healed and loved by people like Jairus, whose daughter was healed by him and actually raised from the dead, and certainly Martha and Mary and Lazarus himself and others, he was not always liked by everybody, and so there's a derogatory name associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the name Beelzebub. Beelzebub. And we see in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And they called him, they blasphemed him, is what they did. And Mark chapter 3 even speaks of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, where the work supposed by the Pharisees done in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was actually done by the devil, when in fact it was done by the Holy Spirit. And so he got associated with Beelzebub. And you know what? That's a blasphemy against his name. Today, you're going to hear a lot of people take the name of Jesus Christ in vain. They use it as an expletive, as a cuss word. And I'll tell you, it has the same connotation, and that is the same connotation as that of being accused of being Beelzebub. And I thought it was interesting that we should take the derogatory term and understand it, because though you and I love the Lord Jesus Christ and really cherish learning these things alphabetically about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, we also are very clear that not everybody likes him, and that there are many who blaspheme him in the earth. Another B concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is bruised. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. The Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, that's a very important designation there, bruised, because it indicates that every sin that we've ever committed caused physical pain and harm to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know, if it hadn't been for his payment, you'd have to be paying for your own sins. And now, because of what he did for you, you don't have to pay for those if you will receive him as your Savior, because the payment has already been made. All right, here's the next thing. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. He is, by implication of this passage, our brother. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Notice, he calls us brethren, therefore he is our brother. I like that song, The Deer, you know. He says, you are a king, you are the Lord, even though you are my brother. And that's a fantastic thing, because that indicates that we can all, you know, we together, those of us who are saved in Jesus Christ together, can look to God as our Father. It also says that we have a close relationship, because I mentioned to you there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, which describes the Lord Jesus Christ extremely well. And we also know from Proverbs that a brother is born for adversity. In other words, in days when you really are in trouble, there's your brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, right there to be able to take care of you and give you encouragement. Notice also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, he is our bishop, shepherd and bishop of our souls, the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now are you returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, a bishop in the Bible is a pastor. And so the shepherd and bishop of your souls would indicate that Jesus Christ is the loving shepherd who guides you, and then the loving bishop who is your authority, the authority over your life, giving you rule and direction and leadership in your life that's so desperately needed to actually live the Christian life. In essence, what happens is you just let the bishop take control of your life and let him run it the way he wants to do, and it works so much better. And then finally, in John chapter 6 and verse 48, John chapter 6 and verse 48, we find one other thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. I am that bread of life, which indicates that with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have full, absolute nourishment in our relationship with him. And may I say this to you, if ever you come spiritually hungry to God, you will find spiritual satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.